Morning. Today's daf in Tzvachim is Yud Dalet. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're about a little more than halfway down in the Amud. We are introduced into the world of Pigel yesterday, and so we continue along that discussion. As I mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta, Pigel becomes very popular, very beloved topic amongst the Amoraim, and therefore it makes its way pretty heavily in this Masechta. So let's recap and let's continue from where we left off yesterday. In terms of what is pigel, so pigel is a machshava. It's a machshava ra. It's a bad thought that's had by the kohen while shechting, and specifically the kohen while doing any one of the dalal avodas says to himself that there's going to be a consumer consuming this carbon chutz zmanu outside prescribed time. Every carbon has a certain time limit in terms of when it's to be eaten, and the mizbeach also has time constraints as well. And when the kohen declares during the avoda that he's going to have a consumer consume their part of the carbon, chutz lizmano outside its prescribed time. So now you set the animal up to becoming an animal that is mispagelis. The animal now has the status of pigel. As such, anyone who eats from such a carbon is subject to the karis penalty. And and that is the machshava of chutz lizmano. There is this very similarly related topic, and that is the machshava of chutz mkomo. If a kohen says that a consumer is going to consume part of the carbon outside of a prescribed place, that also is a machshava, which is going to pass through the karban. But that's a machshava of chutz mkomo. That's outside of its prescribed place. And the only difference that exists between chutz mkomo and chutz mkomo is that chutz mkomo has an issur kares. So if someone eats from the karban, mashenkin by chutz mkomo, there's not going to be an issur kares. Could be malchus as well, but in other words, it's kares. Chutzim Kama will be Malkus? Maybe. So it sounds reasonable. Also, additional to that, we went over yesterday the very basic guidelines regarding pigel, and that is that in terms of when you're having the machshava has to be during one of the Dalai Avodos, during either Shechita or Kabbalah Sadam or Holacha or Zrika Sadam. So that is when the machshava must occur. What the machshava must be about, as I pointed out just a moment ago, it has to be about achila, it has to be consumption. But consumption is broad in terms of what it covers. Consumption could be your part of the carbon that you're eating, the kohen's part of the carbon that he's eating, or the mizbech's part of the carbon in which it is going to be eating. In terms of the mizbech, in terms of what it's going to be eating, it's going to be eating the blood during Zrika. It's going to be eating the limbs of the animal or the imorim, the innards of the animal, depending on what kind of carbon it is. So achila also has a broader definition. So in other words, when the machshava is had is during the Dalai Avodos, and what the machshava is about is going to be about the consumptions. Gemara asked a question yesterday. That's the ground rules regarding pigel. And on that, the Gemara asked the question, what about the chattas of panimios? Chattas of panimios are the inner chattas, which, as we learned a little bit in the beginning of the Masechta, but there are certain karbanos where it does not behave like a regular carbon chattas, but rather, you shech the carbon chattas in the Azara, in the north of the Azara, you collect the blood in a bowl, and then you don't go to the Mizbech HaChitzon, but rather you go directly into the Heichal. You take the blood, you sprinkle in the direction of the Perucha seven times, you apply to the Mizbeach, the four corners of the Mizbeach. When I say Mizbeach, I mean the Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaKetores, the one that's inside. Then whatever's left from the blood, you bring outside and you pour down the Yesod HaMizbeach. And this is done with the Par Kohen Gadol and the Par Helm Davar Shel Sibur, Yom Kippur. This is what's called the Chattas HaPanimius. There is a description of the Torah, when the Torah describes the Chattas HaPanimius, where it is that you take your finger and you insert your finger in the blood, and this is what's called tevila. Now, by the other carbon chattises, you don't have this clear instruction to dip your finger in the blood. As the Gemara is going to point out in just a couple of moments from now, you're going to end up having to do it anyway, because with a regular chattis, with a standard chattis, you're still going to go around the outer mizbech, and you're going to apply it onto the edge of the mizbech with your finger. But there's no clear instruction in the Torah that has to be done with a tzvilas etzba, by sticking your finger in the blood. But when it comes to chattas panimios, so you have this very unique description in the Torah of sticking your finger in the blood. And the question now on the table is as follows. Look, pigel is sourced in the Torah by the Karban Shlamim. The Torah gives us the prototypical, the model example of pigel as it relates to Karmish Lamim. By Karmish Lamim, there's no tvilas etzba bedam. You don't stick your finger in the blood. You collect the blood, you go over to the Mizbech, and you just simply pour it from the kli directly onto the Mizbech. So we know that when it comes to the Shlamim, there is no tvilas etzba. But by Karmish Chatzis, Chatzis Apanimius, so there is a tvilas etzba. So now, question on the table now, is that, is this considered an avoda vis-a-vis pigel? Because I don't have it by the shlamim, and that's the prototype of pigel in the Torah. So is it now going to be eligible for the pigel disqualification by the chatzos apanimios? It is a dam avoda, in other words, without dipping your finger in the blood to sprinkle it in the heichal, you're not going to have kapara. So it is a blood avoda, it just simply doesn't exist by the shlamim. That's the question that we had on the table. And to that, the Gemara discussed. So what we're going to begin today is the, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I did some of this yesterday, but this really begins the sugya. So if Yud Gimel Amud Beis, like halfway down the Amud, first wide line. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ba'aliyah zu shamati. So I was up in the attic, right, where a lot of learning seemingly took place back then. And I heard the following. Tfilas espa mifageles. So by sticking your finger into the blood for the chatas paninus, and the Kohen says that it's going to be eaten outside of its prescribed time, chutzes mano, so it's subject to pigel. What do you mean? How can you say that? We learn it all from shlamim. Now, as I explained, but now the Gemara is all speaking all this out. You know, by shlamim, there's no tefillas etzba. You don't dip your finger in the blood. So therefore, by shlamim, which is the prototype, there's no pigel. So here as well, even though there obviously is a clear instruction in the Torah to dip your finger in the blood, but there shouldn't be subject to pigel. The Gemara says, wait one second. Everything is learned from shlamim. Ima shlamim. Shalosh shmami motze midei pigel. Av chatzah shalosh shmami motze midei pigel. The Gemara says, look, shlamim chatzah, let's compare the two. We know by the shlamim, if let's say you had a shalosh shma machshava, carbon's still kosher, by chatzah, the carbon's not kosher. So, meaning, I know we learn from Shlamim, but you know, the other carbonates do not behave in the same way as the Shlamim does. So, I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Eino Kol Mishlamim Lamdu. So, we don't learn everything from Shlamim. Ho, v'chutzim kam aposo b'shlamim, v'shalo l'shma aposo b'chatas. Gemara says, well, look, let's compare. We know chutzim kam is, in fact, a posel as it relates to Karm Shlamim. We know that the shlo lishmo passes by karmen chatas. Ma chutzim kamo haposel b'shlamim motzi midei pigel. Af shlo lishmo haposel b'chatas motzi midei pigel. Now look, the chutzim kamo passes by shlamim. So the shlo lishmo passes by karmen chatas as well. Meaning, and I explained this yesterday, and let's just say this over very quickly again today. But it is one of the basic tenets of pigel in that pigel only will take effect only when the rest of the avodas are done correctly. Right? Karatzas kasher kach hatzas pasul. Rashi says that. We're going to see it in the Gemara later on. So that means to say that in order for the pigel to apply, to actually take effect, I need the other avodas to have been done successfully. Let's say, says the Gemara, that I have a chutzim kamo machshava when it comes to a shlamim, so that pasul is a karban. And that will remove the pigel status. So the shalol lishmo by chatas also is going to remove the pigel status as well. So in other words, as long as it's a machshavas aposel, so it'll remove the pigel status. I'm Rav Yirmiyah mitzida tavra. So Rav Yirmiyah says, what do you mean? Look right alongside what you just argued, and that itself is going to break it. Meaning, ma chutzim kama aposel b'shlamim shekei nog b'chol hazvachim. You're looking at the chutzim kama psol. The chutzim kama machshava is universal. That applies to every carbon. Tamar b'shalol lishmo sheino nog ela b'pesach v'chatas b'vad. And you want to use that now to argue on behalf of Shalol Lishmo only applies to carbon chatzos and carbon ola. So I grant you the chutzim kamo is universal, but it's universal. That's exactly the point. But if I'm looking at something as Shalol Lishmo is specialized. That's only true by a chatzos and a carbon pesach. Elamayisach lememar davar posel behem motzi emi de pigo. Davar hama'akev behem evilni de pigo. The Gemara says, look, we don't look at it in terms of whether it's universal or whether it's specialized, but look at it simply conceptually. Anything which is a posel is going to remove pigel, meaning pigel will not take effect. So davar hama'akiv b'hem evin lidei pigel. So as long as you're looking at it conceptually, If I do another avoda to this carbon, meaning I did pigle, and I do another avoda, and that other avoda is a disqualifier, it's a posel, so the pigle no longer applies. Gemara says, fine. That's fine. So you want to argue conceptually, so I'll say the same thing regarding a davar hama'akev. If I have an essential avoda, so by a standard carbon, essential avodas come to four. Shchita, kabbalas adam, holach, and zrika. When it comes to the chatas apnimios, dipping your finger in the blood is an essential avoda. So as long as I'm dealing with it conceptually, so then you're going to argue that dipping your finger in the blood is in fact subject to is an eligible time where the kohen can have a machshavas pigel. Hachinami, give me a moment. Hachinami davar apostle ba motzi midei pigel. Davar apostle ba motzi midei pigel. Davar ma'akim bahem mevil midei pigel. Hachinami, this is just a gemara completing the sentence. Hachinami davar apostle ba motzi midei pigel. Davar ma'akim bahem mevil midei pigel. And so what the gemara now is arguing is, look, I know that by the chatas apnimius, it doesn't, there's no such concept by Ishlamim of dipping your finger in the blood. I know that. But as long as we're looking at it from a conceptual standpoint, it should work. Meaning, pigle should apply. If something passes any carbon during pigle, or during a carbon where the kohen had a pigle thought, so that removes the effect of pigle, so too, if any avoda becomes an essential avoda, so that means that the pigle can actually occur. And therefore, what the Gemara now is arguing is that by chatas apnimios, if the Kohen is dipping his finger in the blood, it would in fact be now subject to a pigel machshava.
In an inner chatat, right? While they're dipping their fingers in the blood, the only consumption that's left is for them to sprinkle it.
Again, we're not talking. In other words, dipping your finger in the blood. Don't look at it as a consumption. Look at it as an avoda.
I'm not saying that's a consumption.
Right.
But the next step, the only consumption that's left after the avodah, after dipping, is to sprinkle it, right?
No, what do you mean? There's going to be a burning of the animal, burning of the innards of the animal, burning the remainder of the animal. Well, that's not done on the mizbeach, but there's a burning of the innards of the animal, There's also a sprinkling or pouring the rest of the blood down the yesod hamizbeach. That's another consumption. There are more consumptions after. Amar of Mari af anami tanina, zaklal. And the Gemara now is going to argue that this is in fact true, meaning that as long as it's an essential of Oda, so then it would in fact be subject to pigol because, call it komitz menosim b'kliva moloch v'amakdir. So, moving over to Menachos. In other words, Menachos, the beginning of Menachos runs almost parallel with our Gemara here in Zvachim. Obviously, the notable difference, of course, is that we're talking about animals. In Menachos, we're talking about flower offering. But, other than that, though, they pretty much run parallel with one another. And the Gemara towards the beginning of Menachos highlights the four avodas by Mincha. Runs parallel to the four avodas done by a karban. So, komets, nosim b'kli, kemitza, the fistful of the flower that's taken in your hand, then placing it into another kli sharis, and then walking it over and burning it on the mizbeach. That is all runs parallel to shchita, and kabbal sadam, and zrika, and holacha. Sorry, let me do that in correct order. Right? Shchita, kabbal sadam, holacha, and then zrika. Now, bishlam, a comment on a shochet. Now, the Gemara says, now, I follow the parallel almost perfectly. Shchita and komets are one and the same. In other words, they run parallel with one another, shachting the animal and removing a fistful of the flower. Molech hanu molech. And melicha, and walking it over to the mizbeach, that is a direct parallel. And matir hainu namizorek. And burning the komets on the mizbeach and sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach, that also runs parallel. Ela nosem mekli mainiu. Now, step number two in each of the procedures. Taking the fistful of flour and putting it into a second kli sharis, collecting the blood. Right now, the Gemara is saying, I don't see the parallel. Now, if any one of us is visualizing right now, the parallel is pretty clear. But the Gemara right now, for a moment, doesn't see the parallel. Ile medadamil kabbalah midami. Hasami melahacha iu kashako virami. And the Gemara says, well, they're different, and I'll tell you why they're different. Because when you shock the animal, the blood comes out on its own. But when you're taking the comets and putting it into the second kli sharis, that doesn't happen automatically. You have to do it physically. And so the Gemara says it's not a direct parallel. But the Gemara is now, when the Gemara is not seeing the parallel, but the Gemara is saying, but look, it's essential, right? Meaning if you don't do it, it's not a good carbon mincha. So again, what the Gemara is trying to argue is that because it's an essential component, therefore it's subject to pigle. Hachanami. Kevin Dolo Sagi Dolo Avil Akarcha Hainu Halacha. So the Gemara says, so here as well, you'll have to say that once something becomes an essential component, it's subject to the Pigel Machshava. Gemara says, well, Olam Dedam LeKabbalah. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what though? The argument in of itself may have been a good argument, but I want to go back and I want to test you on that first point that you just made. Meaning you don't see the parallel between the Kabbalah Saddam and taking the comments and putting it into a second Klisharis. You said, well, the blood happens automatically, and the comments you have to do physically with your hand. Gemara says, but I don't really see a difference between them. Look, ultimately what's happening is that a portion of the animal is going into the bowl, a portion of the mincha is going into the bowl. So it's really, it really does run parallel with one another. So the argument may have been a good argument, but I'm just testing you on that first premise that you said. I don't see the parallel. The Gemara says, no, I do see the parallel. And Kevin D. Matan Klihu, Mali Mimela, Mali Kashakal V'yahiv. Okay, sorry, I reread that. Okay, where do we stand right now? The question on the table is, when the Kohen is doing his Chatas HaPanimius, and he's inside the Heichal, and he's taking his finger, and he's putting it into the blood, so is that now a moment in which there could be a Pigel Machshava? On one hand, Pigel is learned from Shlamim. By Shlamim, there's no Tfilas Etzba Bedam. So you can make the argument that, therefore, even though this is an essential avoda, but it doesn't have a parallel by Shlamim, and therefore not subject to Pigel. On the other hand, the Gemara says that the other argument is, no, of course it's going to be subject to Pigel, since this is an essential avoda. Okay, and Lema Ketanai, the Gemara now suggests that this is in fact a Machlokas Tanayim. Gemara quotes two Braisas. One Braisa teaches us. Tfilas Etzem Mefagelos Bechatos, V'tanya Idach Lo Mefagelos, V'lo Mispagelos. One Braisa says that when the Kohen takes his finger and dips it into the blood for the Chatos Pinimis, the first Braisa says it is subject to Pigel. Another Braisa says not subject to Pigel. Not on either end. Not on the making it Pigel, or not on it becoming Pigel, on either end. So my love tonight, so I look at these two Braisas side by side, and it seems to be, oh, so it's a Machlokas Tanayim. So the Gemara says, lo, ha Rabbanan ha Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, no, it's not subject to Machlokas Tanayim, it is a Machlokas Tanayim. Now I know that sentence in the Gemara was funny, meaning it's not a Machlokas Tanayim, it's a Machlokas Tanayim. But no, but what the Gemara is now trying to argue is, it's not a conceptual debate. In other words, it happens to be that different Tanayim take different positions. But we're not arguing within the principle, we're just simply, there are two different Tanayim that could represent these two different braisas. So the Gemara says, wait one second. E Rabbi Shimon, my ear tefilas hetzba. Now Rabbi Shimon, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, a lot later, in the Mem Gimel, we're going to learn that Rabbi Shimon says that any chatas apnimis is not subject to pigel at all. On what basis does he say that? We'll see later on. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, if that's Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, so why are we now talking about dipping your finger in the blood for the Chatos Panimius? Any activity involved with the Chatos Panimius is not subject to Pigel. And the Gemara asks exactly this question. Ha'amar, kol she'eno ha'mizbech ha'chitzon b'shlamim ein bo mishum Pigel. If the carbon is not being applied to the outer mizbech, like the chatzos panimius, it's simply not subject to pigel. So don't tell me that the second braisa is following the rule of Rabbi Shimon, because if that's true, so then we wouldn't have such a minutia discussion on dipping your finger. We just simply say the whole procedure is not subject to pigel. And the Gemara says, look, the difference is very simple. Both prices are representing the opinion of the Chachamim. One says dipping your finger in the blood is an essential avoda, subject to pigel. One says it's not. But one's talking about the inner chatas and one's talking about the outer chatas. The inner chatas, as I described earlier this morning, so the Kohen now is with the blood of the carbon chatas in the heichal, taking his finger, putting it in order to sprinkle it to the parochah 7 times, applying it to the mizbeach hazahav, the mizbeach hakataras, and then pouring the rest on the Yisod HaMizbeach. Fine. There it's subject to Pigel, and I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Because there, dipping your finger in the blood is an essential avoda. It's essential avoda because the Torah says you dip your finger in the blood. However, when it comes to the Chatas HaChitzona, a standard carbon Chatas, that's being applied to the outer mizbeach, there, dipping your finger in the blood is not an essential avoda. Now, to be clear about this point, it's not an essential avoda. What else is the Kohen supposed to do? You have to do it. Meaning the Kohen's going to be out there with the bowl of blood, and he's going to be walking around the outer mizbeach, and you know what he's going to end up doing. Putting his finger into the blood in order to apply it to every one of the corners, the four corners of the mizbeach. But, just give me a second. But, says the Gemara, the Gemara will say, we're going to see this in just a moment, that even though, of course, the Kohen's going to do it, but the Torah doesn't instruct. The Torah just simply says, v'lakach. But the Torah does not say, v'taval. And since the Torah does not give precision, clear-cut instruction of dipping your finger in the blood, so therefore, that is not considered an avoda vis-a-vis pigel, and therefore, that's the difference between the two. And the Gemara is going to point out, I might have thought, look, the Kohen's got no other way to do it, but still, the Torah does not specify the words vitaval as it relates to the Mizbeach Hachitza. Let's see all this inside, and then we'll get to the two dots, I'll pause. So, kam b'chatzos chitzona, kam b'chatzos apanimus. Chatzos chitzona pshito, loksiv be vitaval. Now, at first the Gemara says, well, I knew that already, right? Because the Torah doesn't say the word vitaval as it relates to the outer chatzos. Itzirich sakadat chaminoho v'ksiv alakach v'iyasi kof and rami lehu ayadei by lemishkol zimnechrini. The Gemara over here, just to make its point as clear as possible, the Gemara always introduces a monkey when it wants to really clarify the point. Well, let's say the monkey took the blood from the bowl and applied it to the Kohen's finger and, you know, gives the Kohen a pat in the back, says, okay, go to work. So it's not going to work, meaning the Kohen himself has to take his hand and put it into the blood. And so, yes, meaning the Gemara is basically saying, I know the Kohen's got to put his finger into the blood in order to apply it to the outer mizbeach. But the Torah doesn't say so, and that's the critical component. Again, that's all part of the Havamina. It's like the Torah says Vitaval. So the Torah does not say the word Vitaval by the outer Chatos, simply to highlight that I know the Kohen has to do it, but it's not an avoda per se. It's not a formal avoda per se, where it's subject to the Machshava of Pegel. As opposed to the inner chatos, where the Torah says the words v'taval, so therefore you open up the instruction book, otherwise known as the Torah, it says the word v'taval, Kohen dips his finger in, and so that now becomes the formal avoda, and now if the Kohen has the machshava during the inner chatos, it would be subject to pigel. Yeah. Okay. The Rabbi Shimon I know, but it doesn't say v'taval. I understand, but that's... The Gemara is saying that, but that there lies the difference. Okay.
Regarding the dipping of the finger, we don't consider it as a separate thing because it was already required. So same thing for alacha.
No,
also it's not mentioned, but it's said like this, right?
Right.
That's also not separate.
Okay, I do hear your point, but the Gemara is looking at it from a perspective. Okay, I hear that point. Okay, so. Rabbi Shimon machshir behilach. The Gemara now takes us to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now remember, there are four avodas, and the Mishnah told us very clearly that a machshava will be posel a karban. In other words, the shalol shma by Pesach and Chatzis will be posel during any one of the four avodas, and including the four avodas is halacha. The Mishnah then brought in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says not halacha, and I'll tell you why. Because even though if he shecht the karban in the Azara, and you are not right next to the Mizbeach, so you're going to have to walk it over. But it is avoidable. Holacha doesn't have to happen, because you could shech the carbon right next to the Mizbeach, and consequently, the holacha is just simply not needed. And because it's an avoidable avoda, Rabbi Shimon says, it therefore no longer significant if you have a machshavas pigel during the holacha. So is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And what the Gemara now is going to be discussing with really unbelievable detail is the parameters of this position of Rabbi Shimon. No. Hedy just pointed that out. The Torah does not explicitly state it. The Gemara does say that it's part and parcel of the Kabbalah Saddam. In other words, you're receiving the blood, and part of receiving the blood is to bring it to the Mizbeach, so it's basically encrypted within Kabbalah Saddam. Okay, but still... The Torah doesn't mention, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not necessary. It's avoidable, and therefore, a machshava will not take effect during the halacha. And here the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Shimon Malakish Modu Rav Shimon Balachas Chatos Apnimios Shemachshavas Pasals Bahu Hol Va'avodah She'en Yochol Levatla. Ah, so basically now, if we work within Rabbi Shimon's argument, his construct, if a halacha is not avoidable, so then it would in fact be a halacha. So for example, like what we've just been discussing now for the last half an hour, Chatos Apnimios, you don't shech the carbon in the Heichal. Now it's interesting, why don't you shech it in the Heichal? There's a really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, you don't shech the carbon in the Heichal, lav orach ara lishchod beheichal. It's not appropriate. So it's a strange language when we're talking about carbonos. Carbonos, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, I mean, whatever the Torah tells me. In other words, so how appropriateness now becomes an argument, I don't fully understand, but that's fine, I don't fully understand. But anyway, but let's, for our purposes, let's say simply, we don't shech the carbon in the mizbech. We shech it outside. And by the chatos panimios, the blood's got to get into the mizbech. Sorry. The blood's got to get into the heichal. That requires halacha. So once halacha now becomes a necessary component, so Rabbi Shimon will just simply reverse course. And Rabbi Shimon will say, okay, this halacha is necessary, therefore a machshava will pass on. So, Shein Yochel Vadlav Amar Rabbi Shimon Kol Sheinu Al Mizbech Chitzon Kishlam Emein Chayev Vala Mishim Pegol. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second, slow down. Didn't we say just a moment ago that according to Rabbi Shimon, any blood that's not going on the outer Mizbech is not subject to Pegol? So Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chinan Amo Da'ya Lifso Mikal V'chomer. So the Gemara says, you're meaning Pegol from the Kara standpoint, you're right. But will it disqualify the carbon? Sure, it will disqualify the carbon, and it's based on the following argument. So, look, the argument over here, pretty straightforward argument. Meaning we know that the Shalolishma only applies to Chatzos and Pesach, and yet, if you have a Shalolishma, right, if you have a Shalolishma, so that will passel. Chutz mana, which is a universal psul. It applies to shlamim, it applies to all karbanos. Eino din sheyifsal b'chatzos, she should passel the chatzos as well. When Rabbi Shimon says that it's not subject to pigel, what Rabbi Shimon just simply meant was, you're not going to get kares, but of course it's going to disqualify the karban. V'ashkechan chutz mana, chutzim kama minalon. Now the Gemara takes us on just a small little tangent. Okay, the argument is wonderful as it relates to chutz mana. That chutz mana, even according to Rabbi Shimon, is a posel. But what about chutzim kamo? And ima chutzim mano ma chutzim mano shekein kares. And the Gemara says, look, you want to learn from chutzim mano, big difference. Chutzim mano, subject to the kares penalty. Chutzim kamo, not subject to the kares penalty. And ima shalolishma shekein oing bebama. And what do you want to learn from shalolishma? So, shalolishma applies to Obama. Shalolishma applies to Obama. Chutzim kamo doesn't apply to Obama. We will spend a lot of time later in the Masechta learning that there once was a period historically where you can offer karbanos not in the Beis HaMikdash, but you can offer it in your backyard. You build a little bama in your backyard, an elevated area, and you offer karban in your backyard. This is what's called heter abamos. And when it comes to heter abamos, the zman of heter abamos, so is there a prescribed area? The answer is no. There's no prescribed area. There's no chutzim kama when it comes to a bama. So now on the bama, you do not bring a karban Pesach, and you do not bring a carbon chatas. So, but the principle, the basic idea is that the shalolishma applies to Obama, chutzim kama doesn't apply to Obama. So, shalolishma b'maynoi b'pesach v'chatas. So the Gemara says, well, let's look at it this way. The shalolishma applies to carbon pesach and the carbon chatas, pesach v'chatas b'obama lo kirvu. So the Gemara says, look, you're right, but anyway, you're not offering the Karban Pesach and you're not offering the Karban Chatos on the Bama. And over here, we're talking about Shalolishma, which only applies to a Pesach and a Karban. I'm sorry, a Pesach and a Chatos. Ibaisemo, the Gemara says, or I'll tell you like this. We'll simply extend the rules of Chutzim Komo from Chutzim Mano. Chutzim Mano has Kares, Chutzim Komo doesn't have Kares. So the Gemara says, Ema Keshahu. It's just simply, it's a Hekesh, which the Gemara is going to go over a couple times in the Masechta. Shlishi zechutzim mano, pigel zechutzim kamo, meaning in the same pasuk you have both chutzim mano and chutzim kamo. Again, notable difference. Chutzim mano is an iser kares. Chutzim kamo is not a chi of kares. But nevertheless, so since the Torah puts them together, whatever chutzos mano applies to, chutzos kamo applies to as well. Okay. And so, but in other words, all that just simply moved us from chutzos mano to chutzos kamo. But again, the essential point is that according to Rabbi Shimon, if the walk can be avoided, so then there's no machshava that can occur during the halacha. If the walk cannot be avoided, so then machshava does apply. And how does this play out? So when I have a chatos apnimios, so I have now, I need to walk from the azara into the heichal. That now becomes a necessary walking, a necessary halacha, therefore subject to pigel, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Now with that stated, the Gemara is going to go even further, a deeper dive, into this idea of what walks become necessary, what walks do not become necessary. These next... Huh? No. But in other words, but just by the nature of what needs to be done and where it needs to be done, so walking just simply is a necessary function. For these next Gemaras over here, a picture of the Azara would be extraordinarily helpful. Okay, and next time I'll be more prepared. I'll have a screen behind me, and we could all look at these pictures together. If you have a picture of the Azara in front of you, they're very helpful. We're gonna.
What?
Huh?
On the wall behind
it. Okay. Next time I'll try it out. If you can just imagine in the temple courtyard, the Azara, so there is the temple courtyard, and then you have the Beis HaMikdash in the courtyard itself, and the Beis HaMikdash has two components to it, as an ulam, which is basically like a foyer, and then the actual heichal itself, the actual edifice of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. And basically, here's now what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at what walks become necessary, what walks become unnecessary. We know a carbon chatzos, as with an ol as well, has to be shechted on the northern side of the mizbeach. What we don't know, and the subject of what I say don't know, meaning what's not crystal clear, not agreed to by everybody, is the idea of whether or not the shechita needs to be done directly above the mizbeach, or is there a little bit of latitude in terms of whether the north would also encompass areas that are east and west of the Mizbeach? So, with all that stated, there's a lot of moving parts over here to these next lines of Gemara, but just conceptually, what the Gemara is going to look at is when is walking necessary and when is walking unnecessary. And basically, I know I'm going to do all this really quickly, but basically the point is going to be the same as what we said earlier. According to Rabbi Shimon, once the walk becomes necessary in order to get from point A to point B, so therefore that halacha creates an opportunity of pigel, machshavas pigel, even according to Rabbi Shimon. If the walk is unnecessary, if it's avoidable, I didn't need to do it, so then there is no machshavas pigel for Rabbi Shimon. That is, in essence, all we're going to see, but now we're going to see it with a lot more detail. Amar Rav, Imtim Salam, Rabbi Shimon Savalek Kibrei. Let's say Rabbi Shimon holds like his son. It's a funny sentence, but the Amoraim could say because they know all the opinions. Meaning Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, teaches us that Bein Ha'ulam Mizbeach Safon, that north of the Mizbeach does not mean just directly north of the Mizbeach, but also heads west as well. Meaning in the direction of the Heichal, all the way up to the Heichal. You have the right, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, to shecht a Chatzos and an Ola north of the Mizbeach, and north meaning anywhere even northwest of the Mizbeach, right up until the actual edifice itself. That means, that means that in theory, I could be shechting my carbon chatas, my chatas apanimis, right at the entrance of the ulam. All that walking now becomes unnecessary. When does the walking become necessary? When I'm taking my first step into the actual ulam itself, and then eventually into the heichal. So that means that then and only then are those necessary steps. Good. The Imtim Salam Savalak Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, Tocha Zara, Mikdash, Mikadesh, Ein Machshava Mo Elas, Ba'olach Hasiluk, Bezichan Elami Pesach, Heichal, Velachutz. Now, another permutation of this very same idea is the following. Again, just back up for a second in terms of basic information we need to know. Regarding the lechem atamid, or I should say better, the lechem apanim, that is in the heichal, so those 12 loaves are going to be consumed by the kohanim on Shabbos. in order to consume those 12 loaves of bread. So the you need to first offer 2 spoonfuls of ketores, of lavona, that is placed on top of the lechem aponim and is burnt. Where is it burnt? So it's burnt on the mizbeach. So in order to burn the shtei bazichin, you must walk them out from the shulchan, which is in the heichal, out to the mizbeach hachitzon. There is an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, again, all this we're going to see in much greater detail later on, who says that, truth be told, is that at least in principle, it could be burnt anywhere in the Azara. So that now means that at least in principle, you can burn the shtei bazichin the moment you step foot outside the ulam. So, let's see this inside. So, only from the entrance of the Heichal and going outside. Meaning that once you step foot into the Azara, now, at least there's an eligibility to burn it right there and then, and any steps you take after that point in time is simply not necessary. And finally, in Tim Salam, Sever Kedushas Heichal, V'ulam Chadihi, So, and let's say that the Ulam and the Heichal is one Kedusha. Another debate that we're going to see later on, meaning are the foyer and the Heichal are considered two distinct areas, one from another, or are they considered one unified area? So, the Gemara says, if they're considered one unified area, at least in theory, I can now take the Shulchan and I can move it. In other words, I know the furniture is not normal. You don't normally move the furniture around in the base of Mikdash, but at least in theory, I can take the Shulchan and move it eastbound, and I can move it not only to the entrance of the Heichal, I can actually move it to the entrance of the Ulam. And now, right interior of the Ulam. And now, there would be now halacha becomes unnecessary. So, the Imtim Salam or Tocha Pesach Kilifnim, now the Gemara just goes even one step, I mean this literally, one step further. Now, if you say that the area where the doorway actually covers, meaning the actual thickness of the doorway, if that is viewed halachically as interior, so the table can now literally be moved all the way, not only to the entrance, but within the entrance of the ulam, so now no steps need to be taken altogether. So, really now, in theory, Shulchan is all the way at the east end of the Beis HaMikdash, and here I mean the Ulam, and I really mean even more specifically the actual under the lentil. And now, where does the Bezichin get burned? Again, if we subscribe to Rav Yehuda, anywhere in the Azara. So all I need basically is to extend my arm and stretch my hand, get the Bezichin, move it into the Azara, and so therefore no steps are necessary. And one step further, in Tim Salam, Sever Halacha Shlo Beregel Oshma Halacha, Ein Machshava Malas Klal. And as we will be discussing later in the Masechta, let's say Halacha doesn't even require steps, but it does require some movement of the arms. Is that considered a Halacha? If you subscribe to the position that that's not considered a Halacha, Halacha only is when steps are necessary, so then we have just taken out we have avoided all Halacha altogether. So that means that if I subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, once Holacha is avoidable, no longer subject to the Pigel Machshava. Okay. Yeah, because the Bazichin is the matir, it allows the Kohanim to eat the Lechem upon him. And so the Kohanim, the Bazichin are basically here treated like blood. I know it's a funny construct, but just like the blood allows for the carbon to be eaten, the Bazichin allow the Lechem upon him to be eaten. It's a matir. Meaning, not here. Not here. In other words, this is an entire discussion of the Gemara within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Right. In other words, but no. In other words, the Dala Avodos, a Machshava applies to the Dala Avodos.
Is there a time limit?
In other words, the Bazichin that's the Matir. So in other words, if let's say the Kohen, while burning the Bazichin, say that the Lechem upon him are going to be in a week from now. That's it. That's pigle. It has to be eaten. It has to be eaten that day. Okay.
That's
correct. Amalei Abayi La'amori de Rav Chista. Abayi now is talking to the spokesman of Rav Chista. All the Amorim had spokesmen. Every We have, right? I guess a lot of people can use spokesman. So Abai speaking to the Amor Rav Chista by Mine, Rav Chista Holacha Bizar Mahu. What if a non-Kohen does Holacha? Now, not how can that be, but what if that were to happen? Meaning, what if, in other words, he's in the Beis HaMikdash and he does Holacha. So basically, it seems to be a derivative of the discussion we've been having up until now. How significant is Holacha? Meaning, if according to Rabbi Shimon, now this argument only works within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But if according to Rabbi Shimon, an unnecessary halacha is not subject to pigel, so it could very well be, and this is what the Gemara is now entertaining, that if a non-Kohen did halacha, well, look, it's not necessary anyway, so maybe it doesn't disqualify. So this is the discussion I'd like you to have. Halacha bezar mahu, amar lek shera, umikrami sayeni. So he says, I think it's kosher, and let's read Pesukim together, of course, in Divrei Hayamim, of course. The Pesuk says, Vayishchitu as a Pesach, Vayizrukru Kohanim as Adam Yadam, Vaalavi Mafshitim. So, the Kohanim would shech the Karban Pesach, let me read it better, and let me say it over better. They would shech the Karban Pesach, meaning they seemingly means not the Kohanim, and then, Vayizrukru HaKohanim as Adam, and the Kohanim would do the Zrika. So, over here, in terms of which in terms of the shechita that the non-Kohanim would do, and the halacha seemingly also was done also by non-Kohanim. So, Mesa Rav Shesha Zar, Rav Shesha says no, it can't be, because let's consider the following: if I have a non-Kohen or an Oni, that means a Kohen who has lost one of his seven relatives. For that day, a Kohen cannot do the Avoda. Kohen Gadol does, but the Kohen Hedger does not do Avoda. Shikar Balmum, a Kohen is intoxicated. Or a Balmum, a Kohen who has a blemish, a physical blemish. So, Balmum, Bekabalah, Ba'olach, Zrika, Pasol. If he does any one of the three Avodas of either accepting the blood or walking it over or Zrika, so it's Pasol. V'chein, Yoshev, also while sitting. V'chein, small, or also while doing it with the left hand. So, Tiyufta. So, the Brisa couldn't be any clearer. A non-Kohen does the halacha, it's pasul. That's what the Brisa says. Rav Chista Krakamar. Okay, that's true. That's what the Brisa says. Rav Chista had a pasuk in Tanakh. That's also a very good source. So the Gemara says, Da'avid Maisa Itztaba. The Gemara says, no, they weren't walking, they were standing there. In other words, when the blood was collected, it was handed back to them, but they didn't walk it. They just stood there. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tavaya Halacha Bezar Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. The Gemara now wants to say that this is in fact the Machlokas between the Tanaim. Rabbi Shimon Dami Avodah Shef Shalvat Lalav Avodah Kshera Bezar LaRabbanan Psula. And it seems to line up like as follows. Look, according to Rabbi Shimon, once an Avodah is avoidable, it's not an Avodah. So that means now that Halacha is avoidable, generally speaking. Again, I know earlier this morning we went over a number of situations where it was not avoidable, but generally halacha is avoidable, and so therefore it's not a voda. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, a non-Kohen can do it. Mashenkin, according to the Chacham, they don't make any such distinction, and therefore a non-Kohen cannot do halacha, and if he does so, it will be pasul. Amalei Abai v'hash shechita d'avoda sheyesh levatla ukshere bizar. So the Gemara now asks the question, which is, and it's the question that we could have asked on day one. But, okay, the Gemara asks it over here on day 14. But in any event, you know the shechita doesn't have to be done by Kohen. Is the shechita avoidable? No, it's not avoidable. So shechita lav avodah. So the Gemara says, well, shechita is not an avodah. Which, you know, it's one of the more confusing lines of Gemara that we're going to be seeing over the Masechta. Shechita is not an avodah. And yet, like, in other words, right, it's part of the four, you know, a machshava of shalolishma and pigel all applies by shechita, and the Gemara over here just frankly says, oh, but it's not a voda. Now, how do we know it's not a voda? So Rashi over here writes, it's very simple. By virtue of the fact, in other words, Rashi just simply takes one argument to explain the other argument. By virtue of the fact that a non-Kohen could do the shechita, by definition, it's not a voda. It's a circular line of reasoning by Rashi. But okay, but anyway, but it's not an avoda, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, velo, v'am, Rabbi Zera, amar, rav, shechitas, para, bizar, psula. What about the paraduma? paraduma, if a non-kohen does the shechita by paraduma, it's pasul. V'amarav, Allah, Allah's v'amarava, I'm sorry, v'amarav, Allah, Allah's v'chukak sivba. So the Gemara says, and you know that a kohen has to do it because key words in the Torah, Elazar, meaning Elazar Kohen, and the word Chok, meaning it has to be done by Kohen. So Shani Parah, the Kachi Bedek Abaisi, Valav, Kachi Bedek Abaisi. So Gemara says, Paraduma is not a carbon. Kachi Bedek Abaisi, it doesn't have Kedushas HaGuf. It's temple property, but it's not a carbon. The Valav called the Kenu, Kachi Bedek Abaisi, Havi Avoda, Kachi Mizbech La Avodahi. Well, if Kachi Bedek Abaisi requires a Kohen, shouldn't a carbon require a vote for shechita? So I'm Rosh Hashanah Berei Deravidi. Midi Dahava Amaros Negayim. The lava vodi hu by kahuna. So the Gemara says, look, sometimes I need a kohen, but that doesn't mean it's an avoda, right? Rachmanis, the person has saras. Who has to look at it? A kohen. Is that an avoda? Of course, that's an avoda. Just certain times, the Torah demands that you need a kohen. Same thing with paraduma. It's not an avoda, but do I need a kohen? Yeah, I need a kohen. Vare Allah Evarim Lakevish. Now, walking the limbs up the ramp, is it avoidable? It's a funny question, but the answer really is yes, it's avoidable. It's avoidable in the sense that if I don't do it, karma's still good. And meanwhile, who can do that? Only a kohen. So the Gemara says, so walking the limbs up the ramp of the mizbeach, on one hand, it's avoidable, but on the other hand, I need a kohen to do it. So the Gemara says, okay, but there the Torah is giving me clear instruction. Kohen, you must take the limbs up the ramp. Non-Kohanim, you can't do it. By Shechita, it's not clear. The Torah never specified. V'lav kol dekein hu, ma halachas evarim lekevesh lo ma'akva kapar rabai kuhuna, halachas dam de ma'akva kapar lo kol shekein. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. If you're telling me that non-essential avodas have to be done by Kohen, so essential avodas for sure have to be done by Kohen. And the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Lazar the Amora that if a non-Kohen were to do halacha, not only is it possible, but it would even be possible according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Meaning though, even though Rabbi Shimon says that halacha is not subject to pigel machshava, but at the same time, it must be done by a Kohen. It's an essential avoda. It's ma'akeves. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be done by a kohen, and non-kohen doing it is would passel. Even Rabbi Shimon said would passel the carbon. Okay, I know today was a difficult daf. I know that more schar for today's daf. It is definitely more difficult. Over the course of today, basically a discussion throughout the Gemara of one. Avodas that don't apply by Yishlamim but apply to other karbanos. Is there going to be a pigle consideration? Let's say, for example, dipping your finger in for the Chatzos HaPnimios. Not by Yishlamim, but you have it by the Chatzos HaPnimios. So do we say that that could be does that have candidacy for a pigle machshava? Gemara's answer seemingly is yes. Next, according to Rabbi Shimon Halacha, since it's avoidable, therefore there's no pigle machshava during Halacha. And then what the Gemara spent a lot of time with this morning is within the parameters of Rabbi Shimon. If let's say halacha is not avoidable, it's necessary, so then Rabbi Shimon would reverse his argument. So then once it becomes a necessary component, so then even Rabbi Shimon would say that it would be subject to a machshava pigle, and presumably all the other machshavas that postal a carbon as well. And the Gemara then played around, I don't mean that like, you know, like a game, but then the Gemara played around with various permutations of what walking is necessary, what walking is not necessary, and there's so many variables, there's so many moving parts of where you could do what. And the Gemara played around with all those variables. And then the remaining part of today's daf is what if a non-Kohen were to do the halacha, does that pasul? And according to the Chachamim, it's a no-brainer, the answer is obviously yes. And according to Rabbi Shimon, debatable. Although the Gemara concluded that even Rabbi Shimon himself would say that a halacha done by non-kohen would be possible as well.